The Burt Show.
You got a secret. We want to know about it, and we'll pay you $100, all right? 1-855-BURT-SHOW. Call us with your deepest, darkest secret. If we believe you, we will give you $100. 1-855-BURT-SHOW. Good morning, Allison. You are on The Voice Disguiser. The truth will set you free and also pay you $100. What do you got?
So I found out that my uncle is not really my cousin's dad, but she has no idea.
Okay, how did you find out?
Yeah.
So I overheard a conversation with the uncle and his now wife, and they kind of exposed it, and I was eavesdropping and listening, and they don't know that I heard, and she doesn't know, so it's just something I heard. It was probably like 5 or 6 years ago, and I've just held on to it. I've never told anybody.
And you haven't had any kind of desire to let anybody else in the family in on it?
I mean, I do, but then I don't want to cause problems. Yeah. Like, you know, so I don't feel like it's my place, but at the same time, like, it's hard, because like, whenever I see her, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, like, you just think about it. Like, I think about it.
Yeah, I'm keeping that one to myself.
That would be hard to hold on to.
Yeah, but I would.
No, that's not my sink. Those aren't my dishes.
All right, hold on 1 sec. We'll get you $100, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Right, hold on. And Ava, good morning. The truth will set you free and also give you $100. What's your secret?
My husband, ex-husband, was a chronic cheater. And every day for a year leading up to our divorce, I peed on his toothbrush.
wait, what did you pee on?
Peed on the toothbrush.
Oh, wow.
And Ava, he never figured this out?
Never, and he brushed his teeth 3 times a day.
What? So let me just, I just want to, hold on. So you had a ritual every single morning. You were getting up before him, or like, what time of day did you do? Every single day you would grab his toothbrush while you were in the bathroom and you'd urinate on it?
Every single time I had to pee, I
peed
on his.
Every single time!
How you don't taste that?
Forgive me if this is a silly question, but why didn't you just leave him?
She did. She said every day leading up to the divorce.
Oh, yeah,
that's solid.
For a while, it was a financial thing, and it's always easier said than done, but I did eventually.
Yeah, that's the most hydrated you ever been.
Oh, my God.
For those years.
How did he not know? What are they putting in his Colgate now, David?
Seriously.
I got so many cavities.
That's pretty solid. Yeah, right? Hold on 1 second, okay? All right, we'll give her $100. And Alexis, good morning. The truth will set you free here for $100. What do you got?
Hey, so I did dual enrollment in high school, which means I went to college my senior year. My senior year, I accidentally didn't take a math credit class, so I technically never graduated high school, but I ended up going to GSU for my bachelor's and my master's, and I graduated with both of those.
So you never got a high school diploma, but you went to college and you got your master's.
Yeah, I was accepted into Georgia State halfway through my senior year. So they never saw that I didn't fully graduate high school. And I didn't find out that I didn't have the math credit until literally a week before graduation.
Wow. I mean, if they didn't ask, need to tell.
That's not something you're going to volunteer.
Nope.
I mean, okay, hold on.
That's what my train of thought was.
Beautiful for you. Hold on 1 second, okay? We'll get you $100.
Okay, cool.
Here's Danny. Danny, you are on The Voice Disguiser. Give us that secret, man.
Hey, so when I was way younger, we were visiting this country, and I got this girl pregnant. I went to go tell my dad what happened, and he said, "All right, pack up." We got on a plane. I never went back.
Wait.
You guys were on vacation or something?
No, I must say too much, or no. Okay. We were, it's where we're from.
So you fled a country because you got a girl pregnant?
I didn't. I was way younger. My dad told me, let's go. I said, all right, cool, let's go.
Okay, yeah. Your dad was like, you got a girl pregnant, we're going to bounce.
Yeah, and that was it.
What?
Wow.
And nobody knows that you have this child?
Except me and my dad.
Damn.
You never tried to follow up on it? Nothing?
Nope. He told me, block everybody. Block that person on everything, and then that was it.
And she's never tried to come find you?
Yes, other people have, but just I just keep blocking.
You keep dodging.
Wow. That's a hell of a secret, man.
Yeah, well, we got $100.
Might go to his child support at some point.
I was going to say, can you like anonymously just send it in the mail to the kid? Yeah. My flabbers are gas, please.
I can't believe his dad was just like, nope.
Daniela, good morning. You were on the Bert Show. Hi.
Hi.
What you got for $100?
Well, about 4 years back, my husband had cheated on me. I knew the girl he cheated on me with. Their whatever they had going on ended. However, I still had the girl on lock through Facebook, and then I found out she was dating some dude. So I started talking to the dude through Facebook. We ended up meeting up, and then I started being the cheater. I started cheating on my husband with her new boyfriend. She found out. However, tried to get in touch with my husband to let him know. Somehow they did. My husband confronted me, but he never believed her. I was like, she's just, like, stuck on it. Like, she just hates me or whatever. And, yeah, so then I became the cheater with the person she was dating.
The ultimate revenge.
Yes.
I mean, I don't.
It's a very elaborate revenge plan.
You deserve to be rewarded for that.
Men don't have that kind of patience.
Absolutely
not. We just don't have that kind. All right, it's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
Trying to do my best as a parent, man. I didn't have the greatest role model, that's for sure. My dad was really bad at dadding. And sometimes I feel like I'm navigating by the stars. And I realize this week that I got to circle back with my son, Hollis. And you know, have you ever heard that cliche? And I think it goes something like this, like the sins of the father are also the sins of the son. Something like that.
I've heard it, yep.
So I think I got to swing him back around. I think I made a mistake here. Not a mistake, but it's sort of a lifestyle that I've had for a long time, and I'm nervous. I have glorified partying to my kid, and I think I got to swing back. And I'm not exactly sure how to reverse it, but I do know that I've made a mistake, and I want to try to correct it. So,
at least you recognize it.
Yeah, that's the first part. Actually, it was Amanda that recognized it and made the suggestion. And she was 100% right after I thought about it for a while. So just let me be completely real with you. I come from a hard-charging family. My dad was a big-time partier and didn't hide it at all. You talk about glorifying it. One of the saddest stories that I think I've ever passed on to you guys is that I came home in high school from being out with some friends, and I came home one night, and my dad was there partying with a bunch of his friends and put a vial of cocaine underneath my nose. The spoon from the vial, put it right under. It's like, hey, give this a try. And I was like 17 years old at the time. So that's the kind of sort of environment, party environment that I grew up in.
Not the healthiest.
Not the healthiest at all. And even as I'm telling that story, I'm starting to get tight in the chest, realizing like how incredibly dysfunctional that is. And there was drinking all around my house also. And I'm not blaming my dad for this, but look, that's kind of where I learned my drinking habits. And when I started drinking in high school, I went from 0 to 100 very, very quickly. I was binge drinking my entire life. I was not scared of trying this and that. In fact, I was encouraged to try this and that. And I experimented with it all, right? And I've paid the price for that as an adult also, as I have now finally been able to put a governor on my drinking. And it wasn't something that I mentally set out to do. It's just like I've lost the taste for drinking, really, and I just don't drink the way I used to. So I can't even say that's anything that I've done and I've accomplished. I just lost the taste for it. But I think over the years that I have set the pattern up, or Hollis is probably, I've probably shared too many stories with my youngest to where I might be glorifying partying. Mm-hmm. And I think it's time to circle back to him and say, man, these are all the mistakes I made. You know, I look back at it and with fun, I mean, I had a great time. That is for sure. And nothing truly, thankfully, bad ever happened to me, but good Lord, it sure could have. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've shared this story with you before. And if you guys have kids in the car, you probably want to skip on this one.
But we're going to leave the vial of coke in. You should have hit him up with that one a lot earlier. Sorry.
So this is going to sound even worse than that. I just have never been able to put a governor on my partying. And after high school in college, I was doing so much cocaine that one night my heart started palpitating and my fingernails turned all white. And I was telling a friend of mine that, who is a firefighter, and he's like, I just want to let you know when that happens, you got about a 50-50 shot of surviving that kind of night. And that was the last time I did any of that. All right. When I was close to death, okay, that was a pretty good sign. But I think that I have sort of glorified it with my son, and I think I got to go back and I got to tell him some of the close calls that I had and how stupid it really was, and also how it's affected me in my adulthood as well. I certainly have gotten myself into a lot of situations that I wouldn't have gotten into had I not been numbing. And I don't want him to grow up with that. And he's going to be leaving for college here in a couple of months. And I'm just afraid that I've built a foundation like, hey, you know what? College is also for experimenting and having a good time. It's not only about academics, but you're going to make new friends and have new experiences. And I just want to make sure that I haven't set him up to fail.
Mm-hmm. I get that. I feel like it's a great time now, because I know in my family, I watched a lot of like my uncles and the older guys struggle with drinking. They drunk really heavily, and that was just what I witnessed. And I think at a certain point in my life, I kind of naturally went that route too, just because I've seen that's what they did. But as I think reflecting upon that now that I'm older, I realize how that didn't help them and how unhealthy it really was. Right. And I think that's a part of the reason why I stopped drinking as much now.
I also feel like for him to get to the point where because I feel like everybody who goes through a party phase gets to the point where they realize it's not that fun anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think regardless of the way you were raised or your opinions on partying, if you ever go down that route, I feel like most people get to a point where they know when to rein it in. Like, I grew up completely opposite to how I'm assuming you painted partying to Hollis. Like, I grew up very, very Christian, was told no drinking whatsoever until I turned 18. And my mom was like, why aren't you drinking more? But I grew up thinking I would never be someone who would go out and drink or do any of these things. And then when I went to college and I started experimenting and I was like, oh, this is kind of fun, I still got to a point where I'm like, this is my limit. You know, it's fun, but it's not that fun. But I feel like for people to get to that place where you're able to rein yourself in, you have to go down that route. And so I really feel like no matter how you raised him, I mean, I'm glad you didn't put cocaine under his nose, but I feel
at
like,
least better than my dad.
I feel like regardless of the reins that you put on him in his childhood, I still feel like people are going to go to college, people are going to experiment, and they have to figure out where their limits are and boundaries are for themselves so that they can enforce it throughout their life without feeling like I'm doing this because my parents said so, or I'm doing this because my parents said not to do that.
Yeah. And I've got a couple of thoughts on this also. Is like, I've always known the governor. Like, there always comes a part in the night where I say to myself, like, you can either go in here and you're going to go hard, or you could stop right now. And I never had the discipline to go, let's just stop. You know, it's just going to be more fun if I do this more, or I do that even more, or I do that more. And I want to have a talk with him that, do you have that, you know, that governor in your head that's telling you that now it's time to make a decision? And are you making smart decisions?
But it's not having a governor genetic.
Oh.
Yeah, and I don't know. His mom has that on her side, too. You know, you guys, if you're a new listener, my wife battled addiction to painkillers also. And she drank some wine back in the day also. So we've both attack those demons.
I feel like this is going to be the tough conversation. And the older you are, the more you can accept this. When you're young, it's like, but it's not fair. But life isn't fair. And at some point you have to accept that and not make excuses that, well, this isn't fair, so I'm going to do this anyway. So knowing your family history and knowing his mom's family history, I think you need to have like a really tough conversation, a tough love conversation that, you know, because of your family history and maybe genetics, mm-hmm. I'm not sure, I'm not a doctor, but you're going to have to be a little more diligent mm-hmm. because it might be harder for you than others to put a governor on right. because that's just the history of our family. And is it fair? No. But these are the cards we're dealt, and we have to know how to handle them accordingly. So especially before he goes to college, just be like, I want you to be mindful that just because, you know, Todd can do this over here doesn't necessarily mean you can, and you're going to have a similar outcome because mm-hmm. your outcome may be completely different.
I also now question the wisdom of being 100% honest with him over my past. And his mom has taken that route also, where he knows everything that we did. And my thinking at the time was like, you can always come to me because we've seen it all. We've experienced it all. So come to me. Don't be embarrassed. If you do have a problem, then come to me. And now I wonder, in looking back at it, that maybe we should have taken a different route.
I don't know if you should take it a different route. I mean, maybe, hey, you're... Life is full of regrets. Maybe you should have disclosed more. Maybe you should have disclosed less. I do. I will say, thanks for, you know, being a role model for us. Jimmy's never going to know about my dark years. Mama's taking those to the grave with her.
Until I tell him.
Yeah. I think it's probably different for everybody, but I know for me, my family was big on protection and not really telling you about those times. And looking back on it, I feel like it benefits you to know, because one, you can learn from both. You know, you learn from the good, you learn from the bad. And two, I think at some point it was important to know that my parents made mistakes as well, so that I didn't beat myself up so much when I did. So for me, I think if I did have kids, I would be really transparent.
Yeah, he knows very well that his dad is flawed.
Yeah.
He's very aware of that.
But I think what you're saying here is you're worried that you haven't portrayed the partying as a mistake, but rather like all these grandiose times.
Yes.
Yeah, that there is trying to figure out how to relate to him. Like, I know I made this sound really fun and really cool, but in actuality, you need to dial it back.
Hey, Ray, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hello.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I just want to touch up on, I heard what Mo said when he blew around people drinking and stuff, because I blew around people drinking, and I thought it was cool, and then I started drinking, and then about 10 years ago, I fell asleep behind a wheel and crashed my car, almost ended my life.
Oh, man.
So I got a crack, being crushed to L2 on my spinal cord, but I'm not paralyzed, and I'm watching my daughter grow up, so just wanted to put that story out there.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate you calling very much. It's one of those stories, though, like when you tell a 17-year-old or an 18-year-old a story like that, it's totally lost on it. Can't happen to me,
They're invincible at this age.
I'm invincible, you know?
I mean, they may or they may not get it, but I do think it's important to have it, because in all honesty, I learned more, hangovers taught me more about drinking than anybody in my family did.
Well, that's why I think the honesty is important for both ways. Like, be honest about the fun parts, but also be honest about the mistakes that you made and how it affected you, because it's one thing to hear it from a stranger on the radio, but it's another thing to hear about the mistakes from your dad.
Yeah, I mean, he still sees me limping around a little bit, and that's because I jumped down a flight of stairs at a fraternity party and I was hammered. The flight was great, the landing gear, not so much. And it's never quite been the same. So I think it's time to circle back and talk to him about it.
The Burt Show.
All right, so Kristen, I wasn't here for texting tutor, so do tell.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and let Abby and Mo do the recap, because I have the follow-up.
Oh, so it said Kristen recap. Sorry.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Something about a mechanic.
Oh, yeah. So Kathy basically needed, basically got screwed out of like $1,200 from a mechanic. And she called us up because, you know, mechanics are always trying to get one over on women, because women, we don't know about cars. So we had to basically text the mechanic as her fake husband. She doesn't have a husband. She's like casually seen some man. So we pretended to be her fake husband to text the mechanic to say, hey, you put on some brake pads backwards, totally screwed up my car. We took it to another mechanic and they told us that the brake pads were totally, totally wrong. So we want to come back to you so that you give us a refund so we can actually afford to fix our car. But the mechanic was kind of being a D-bag.
All right. And I received multiple DMs after I suggested in our texting tutor, after everything was said and done, and Doug was like, I'm not giving you a penny, that I was going to be her lawyer. And I was going to text Doug as her lawyer trying to get her money back. But I received multiple DMs letting me know that impersonating a lawyer is apparently illegal. Everybody's got a poo-poo on my lawyer parade. I wanted to pretend like I was intelligent. But I do have several lawyer friends, and my husband's best friend happens to be a lawyer. And I called in a favor, and he agreed to reach out to Doug. And he actually sent Doug an email. And this is the correspondence that we have, all right? Doug, last name redacted.
Do you want Kathy on the phone? Because she's here.
Oh, she's here. Yeah. I absolutely get Kathy on.
Hey, Kathy.
Hi.
Good morning. Okay, Kristen's got some news for you here.
All right, so you ready, Kathy? I hit on my lawyer friend. He was down to clown, and so this is the correspondence we had with that mechanic that screwed you over. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Doug, as she said last week. I am writing on behalf of my client, Kathy, last name redacted, regarding the serious issues with her vehicle after receiving service at name of auto repair, redacted, on February 27th, 2025. Despite multiple attempts to resolve this matter, including text exchanges with your shop, you have refused to issue a refund for the negligent work performed on her 2018 Honda Civic. To reiterate, after paying $1,275 for an oil change and brake pad replacement, Kathy's vehicle suffered significant mechanical issues due to your shop's errors, including failure to properly secure the oil cap, leading to oil leaking all over the engine block, incorrect installation of brake pads backward, creating a severe safety hazard. These findings were confirmed by a second reputable mechanic. Your refusal to take accountability or provide a refund has left Kathy with additional repair costs to correct your mistakes. At this point, Kathy has left detailed reviews online documenting her experience, warning other potential customers. Additionally, if a full refund of $1,275 is not issued within 5 business days, we will proceed with the following legal actions. Filing a formal complaint with the Better Business Bureau and the State Consumer Protection Agency. Pursuing small claims court for damages, including repair costs and any additional expenses incurred due to your shop's negligence. Reporting this matter to local media and consumer advocacy groups to ensure that no other customers fall victim to similar treatment. This is your final opportunity to resolve this matter amicably. Please confirm in writing whether you intend to issue a refund or we will proceed accordingly. Sincerely, insert my lawyer's name, friend here, insert his law firm here, insert his contact information here. All right, so Kathy, that's what my friend shot off to Doug.
That's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Not bad. Got it. We covered all our bases. Mm-hmm. I'm here to let you know. Doug replied.
Oh. Okay.
And even though he replied back to the lawyer, he decided to address it to you for your quote-unquote lawyer to pass on to you, okay? Kathy, we have reviewed your concerns, and while we understand your frustration, we stand by our work.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Our mechanics followed proper procedures, and we have no record of any mistakes made during your service. Any issues with your vehicle may have resulted from pre-existing conditions or work done by another mechanic after you left our shop. Our policy clearly states that all sales are final, and we do not offer refunds once a service has been completed. If you would like, we can have our team take another look at your vehicle, but we will not be issuing a refund. Additionally, we are aware of the negative reviews you have posted online. We kindly ask that you remove these defamatory statements as they contain inaccuracies that could harm our business. Let us know if you wish to bring your vehicle in for further inspection. Otherwise, we consider this matter closed. Doug!
Oof, man, he's not backing down.
No, they're doubling down, in fact. So what do you think of that?
Oh, I think that I'm going to need your friend's phone number because I may be hiring him as a lawyer.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, he did the email pro bono, but he isn't going to take the case pro bono.
Yeah, I don't think this is over yet.
He ain't got that kind of time.
Yeah, the D in Doug definitely stands for D-bag here.
All right, Kathy, let us know how it goes, okay?
I mean, I will, but just so you know, I did some research and I can absolutely sue him for this. I have a receipt that is timestamped. I can take it to small claims court. Like, this is not over, Doug.
Get it, girl.
Good. Not over, Doug. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
The Burt Show.
Do you want to get healthy? Do you want to get healthy with Kristen? Because she is looking for her swole mate right now.
Thank you for that word, by the way.
What?
Swole mate.
Swole mate.
Looking
yeah.
for my swole mate.
So gym bros, when they're trying to get all like swole and buff, call each other swole mates.
All right. So if you need to do a little strength training yourself because you're weak AF like me, then you could score yourself a gym membership, a personal trainer, a body composition scan, all the things courtesy of Pinnacle Fitness. All you have to do is sign up to be my swole mate.
Hello? Do you wanna be my swole mate? Come on, let's go and lift. We have no muscles anymore. We will be sore, it's time to make the shift. You'll be my spotting buddy, and I'll be yours. We'll bench press to the sky. Do you wanna be my swole mate? You'll forever be my swole mate.
Let's do this, Kristen.
Okay, hi.
Thanks for the assist, Katie.
All right, so if you go to theburkshow.com, you can sign up to be my swole mate. It's a simple form you fill out, and I just really want to know the reason, like, why? What's your motivation? Why do you need to get in the gym? Why have you not been able to get into the gym? What obstacles or hurdles have you been facing for the past, you know, months, years, whatever it is? And we're going to be like accountability buddies and swole mates. And so we're going to try to get a workout in here and there together. I know with schedules and stuff like that, especially if you're a parent and full-time job, blah, blah, blah. But we're going to be accountability partners. We're going to work out together, and Pinnacle Fitness is going to hook you up. And then after everything is said and done, and I have muscles on muscles, we're doing a feature for Simply Buckhead Magazine.
Okay. All right. I think your way of working out has been very edgy, because a lot of people go one day on, one day off, so their muscles recover.
Yes.
While you work out one day and then take 6 months off.
That's not true.
To make sure they're completely recovered.
Fully recovered.
I just hit my 100th class at yoga. Thank you very much. But I do find myself very much going, It's working out is a roller coaster for me. Mm-hmm. I can have these highs where I'm like, I'm just like, yes, mm-hmm. you know, doing the things and feeling good. And then like I get a little bit of a sniffle or I get sick, oh. and then you have to miss a couple.
Yeah.
And then it just feels so good to be lazy and sit on your couch and do absolutely nothing.
This is the problem right here is that with working out, and also like dieting and all that stuff too, is that I think we mentally mess ourselves up, because when we're on a roll like that, we feel so good about it. Then you miss one or two days and you just feel like you've messed everything up that you just did the last 6 months when you have it.
No, and I'm a very much an all or nothing person. I know that about my personality. So either I'm all in at the gym or I am all in on my couch. There really like is no in between. But we are all in. We're going to do this, and we're going to do this together. So sign up to be my swole mate at theburkshow.com.
You going
to
use your swole mate song as like a pre-workout?
Oh, no.
You need a hype song.
I think you need something
so
a little different.
What Jamie, our personal trainer, is going to do for us, when I went and worked out last week, and I actually thought I was just going to meet him and take a tour of the gym. And he's like, you ready to work out? And I was like, son of a biscuit. He's like, get on the treadmill. And I'm like, no. And then he made me sweat. And I was like, no. But he asked me, he goes, what is your favorite kind of music to listen to? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm a classic rock girly. So I love me some Beatles, Zeppelin, AC/DC, ZZ Top, CCR, all that kind of stuff. And he's like, all right, we're going to change the music. Because apparently it is statistically shown that you are happier when you listen to the music you like, and mm-hmm. you work out better if you're listening to the music you like.
Oh, sure.
That makes sense.
Which makes complete sense. Yeah. So yeah, we were in there and I was just, you know, giving it the what for, and then jamming out to some ZZ Top. And so
I think it's a better option than what you put together.
Yeah, the swole mate.
Ain't
nobody working
she
out.
She won't be
there.
Making an appearance. <That's pinnacle.
laughs> Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Admittedly, I'm guilty of this. Admittedly, I have once heard a comedian absolutely crush a joke that's made me giggle, hee hee, and then use it on the air to make people laugh. And have I flopped several times? Absolutely. And now Travis Kelce is getting called up for the same thing, because a comedian named Joe List called him out on the Casuals podcast for stealing a joke he had about Pablo Picasso. So in this clip I'm about to play you, you're going to hear Travis Kelce do the abridged version of this joke, and then they're going to compare it to Joe List doing the actual joke.
He's a little dim, that Kelce.
This man sees my bit, my big viral Picasso bit, does it on his show.
When do you think Pablo Picasso died?
I wouldn't even know where to start with that.
I'm pretty sure he died in 1970.
1973.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's crazy. Pablo Picasso was drinking Mountain Dew watching NFL football games. How crazy is that?
Did you guys know this? Pablo Picasso, you know when he died? He died in 1973. Did you know that? I thought he died in 1380. I almost 1973. Picasso had a car. Is that unbelievable? Pablo Picasso was driving around Spain in like a Honda Civic listening to Black Sabbath on the radio. He saw 6 Super Bowls. I thought he lived next to a blacksmith. The guy's like at home watching the Green Bay Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs on a colored television set. drinking Mountain Dew. And some of you might be like, Mountain Dew, that wasn't out in 1970. It was. Do you know when it came out? I thought like maybe 1975, 76. 1940, Mountain Dew came out.
He says Mountain Dew and NFL players.
Oh, same tags.
Same bit, same tag. But he f***ed up. Mine's better. Yeah. I say six Super Bowls. He says NFL games.
Well, he's
bad performing.
CTE is a no joke.
But, yeah, he does my bit.
So he's getting called out for it.
As he should.
Yeah, as he should. New Heights is one of the top podcasts out there right now. And you think people aren't going to recognize that even a little bit. It's a viral clip about Pablo Picasso. Right. It's a great joke. And then you copy and paste it. Like, come on, bro.
And then use the Mountain Dew reference, man. I mean, that's the nail in the
NFL
coffin,
game.
Right?
Yeah.
Didn't change the details at all.
Well, you know who is getting busy making their own original content is R. Kelly, Behind Bars. So he was recently on a podcast called...
Good name for an album.
Behind bars.
Trapped in the closet to Behind Bars.
So he was recently on a podcast called Inmate Tea with A&P, and he says that he's been working hard to create albums and so far has made 25?
Singing is a beautiful disease. That's incurable. That's not going to happen. Stop singing.
Right.
I don't care where I'm at, I'm alive. So I'm always singing. I'm always writing. I've written like 25 albums. And right now, I'm just working on getting out.
So he is somehow making things happen behind bars. I don't know if he's using the same studio that Tory Lanez is using or if maybe they're trying to use like AI technology, but whatever it is, their microphones and their phones don't have great quality audio. So.
I mean, I believe him. The man has always had like a knack for writing and writing and writing, and what else does he have to do in there? I also think he writes songs for other artists who use what he's giving them but don't say nothing about it.
Now?
Absolutely.
Really?
There's been a couple songs where people have been like, this kind of sounds like R. Kelly, and he did admit that he has written for people, but he won't say who.
Do you think they know for certain who wrote this song?
What, the songs that he has written for other people?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, people have heard it, and if you know R. Kelly's music, you know it's R. Kelly.
No, I'm saying the people who are singing the songs, the artists who are singing the songs.
Oh, do they know it came from R. Kelly?
Do they know it came from R.
Absolutely.
Kelly?
Absolutely.
You think so?
100%.
Also,
they know.
He's working on getting out. He's going to have, if he's already written 25, he was sentenced to 30 years in 2021, so he is not getting out anytime soon. Mm-hmm.
He's got an album for every year. He's going to be locked back there. Okay, men used to go to war and now they become DJs. And nobody is safe, including the King of England, King Charles III, because he is joining Apple Music as a DJ.
Throughout my life, music has meant a great deal to me.
No way. Deadass. No.
It has that remarkable ability to bring happy memories, comfort us in times of sadness, and to take us to distant places. But perhaps, above all, it can lift our spirits to such a degree, and all the more so when it brings us together in celebration. In other words, it brings us joy. So this is what I particularly wanted to share with you. Songs which have brought me joy. This seemed such an interesting and innovative way to celebrate this year's Commonwealth Day.
So you're going to be able to hear artists from Bob Marley to Ray on King Charles's DJ station on Apple Music.
So. He sounds like an American trying to do an English accent.
It does sound fake. Like, I'm like, is this a parody? Like, is this not real? All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
Get it? The Burt Show.
It's Monday. Maybe you're feeling a little sluggish. Maybe where you are, it's yucky outside, and you need something to pick you up. Monday mantra.
Happy Women's History Month. I saw this post on Alpha Woman Mindset and had to share because I guarantee you one of these things that you are about to hear from another woman will inspire you. So Alpha Woman Mindset got this from Kylie MC on TikTok. And the question was asked, ladies, what's the most powerful thing you've ever heard a woman say that stuck with you? Okay. Number one. I won't come down from the top shelf just so you can reach me.
Ooh.
Oh.
I know, right?
Oh.
Who you are with is a direct reflection of how much you value yourself.
Amen to
that's
that.
A fact.
We have heard that one several times before. You don't have to participate in every sad feeling offered to you. And like, I feel like sometimes we feel like we have to fix it, especially women. We need to fix it. and everybody, no matter who presents you a sad feeling, doesn't mean that you have to react to it. You have to respond to it. You have to do anything with it.
I've been taught that fixing it was like the dude's, like, that's our sort of go-to, and that's without listening. No?
Yes, it is. But also, I do feel like women, especially with other women and with kids and stuff like that, you have this innate want to try to fix things, mm-hmm. especially because as caregivers and caretakers, and sometimes that just, you need to take a step back and let people take care of themselves. All right, this one. And again, this is for women, but also very much relates to men. It ran in the family until it ran into me.
Oh,
whoa.
That's fire.
Right?
Wow.
It ran in the family. Uh-huh. Until it ran into me.
Yeah. Put it on a shirt.
All right. My standards are not too high because I meet them.
Oh, that's good.
Okay.
I thought so too. My standards are not too high because I meet them. Next, I've never wanted to trade places with someone who didn't like me.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a bar.
I like that. We're going to hang that one up in here.
I've never wanted like to trade that. Places yeah. with someone who didn't like me.
Thanks.
And then the last one I have for you is, you're not intimidating. They're just intimidated. That's their weakness, not yours.
Those are great, man.
I know. And solid. Then, of course, we love Tom Hanks. And he has given us the advice that we've used for our Monday mantra in the past, and that was, this too shall pass. Whether it's the good, if you're going through something great and awesome right now, just know this too shall pass. If you're in the dumps and you can't get out and you don't think things can get, you know, things can get worse, this too shall pass.
Cassie doesn't believe that. Everything that's been going on in her life the last 3 years.
Yeah, she's like, when is it going to pass? So this comes from @the.film.directing. And this was the advice that changed Tom Hanks's life. And I firmly believe that this is advice that does not apply to just an actor, but can apply to absolutely anyone. And I think is actually great advice for all of us here on the show.
What is the line? Where should I be? The director got so friggin' mad because he said, listen, hey, this is my job and it's your job here. And I can't tell you guys what to do every set. Stop asking me where you should be. Stop asking what the motivation is. That's your job. You gotta show up on time. You have to know the text and you have to have an idea. Now let's take 10. Then we came back and it was like, whoa. I heard that and I said, show up on time. Know the text. Have an idea. I think I can do that. And you tell me, are there not a ton of actors that are working who don't do any of those things?
Yeah.
And they still get to come and get paid to do it. Maybe they'll make it past the Friday Night Massacre, and maybe they won't.
Yeah.
But if you do those things, that is the best. And not just for being an actor, I think it's a good rule of living. Show up on time, which is actually means a little bit early. Know the text, which means know what's going on. Know the modus operandi. Know the goals that everybody has. And for whatever it is that you're doing, even if it's just like helping a buddy move or something like, know that you're going to be there to help him move. But then also have that idea that nobody else has that will move it a little bit farther on down the line. People say, what's the best advice you've ever had? And I just told you what the best advice is, so I don't even need to do that anecdote now. So, yeah, show up on time, know the text, and have an idea.
There you go.
It doesn't get easy. I mean, it sounds easy, and it's actually not, but you just have to work hard to implement it.
Get it. The Bird Show.
I got to do a little homework on this, but if I remember correctly, we had a fact on this show a while ago. Like, what is the most marked up item that you can possibly buy? And it was movie popcorn.
Oh, for like what it costs to make and what they're making off of it?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like, it's like 7 cents to make, and they can charge you like $8.50.
I remember when I was a server at an upper scale restaurant. However, I didn't serve in the dining room. I was serving in the bar because that's where I belonged. And the manager, we'd always run through the specials and stuff like that. And they never wanted us to push like lobster or anything like that, like the big ticket item. No, they wanted us to push like some chicken dish because it was marked up and there was more profit in selling the chicken dish than there was lobster because they made minimal off the lobster.
I actually saw that on airlines. First class tickets aren't the ones that make the airlines a lot of money. It's like premium economy because you're basically getting the same experience as economy. Like you're not getting that much leg room, but you're upcharged like $1,000 or $2,000, especially for those transatlantic flights.
I feel like sneakers got to be in there too because sneakers cost next to nothing to make and what they charge on is outrageous.
Abby, I'm glad you brought up the traveling part of it because this is where I'm going with this. So last week, I go on a vacation with my kid on his senior trip, right? And I was a chaperone. And while we were at the airport, I saw him struggling with his carry-on bag. It's like an old school bag. I must have given this thing to him 10 years ago. And it's tore up. He takes it from soccer tournament to soccer tournament. And this is his senior trip. So we're at the airport and I'm like, dude, let's just get you another carry-on. And he's like, okay, no problem. Let's spend money. It's not mine. Okay. So, I've seen Tumi luggage every single time I have ever gone to an airport. But I always thought, like, who buys luggage while you're at the airport? And I turned into that guy. You guys have seen these stores, Tumi's, right?
Yeah, they're expensive.
I didn't know that. Okay, so I did not know that. So we walk into Tumi, and I see one of those carry-on bags, and I'm like, just pick out whichever one you want. Dude, they all look the same to me, so go ahead, pick whatever color you want. He gets a black one, and he puts it on the counter, and I break out my credit card. She runs it, and I see it's $850.
For a carry-on?
A carry-on, Kristen. $850.
What does it do?
Now, I do not know because we didn't get it. Now, I have run into this situation before where something is on the counter and it's super expensive, but my ego gets in the way and I don't want to be like, oh my God, I can't afford that, so I'm gonna buy it. Not this case. I'm like, absolutely not. So I said to her, that's $850. And she even was sympathetic with me, like, oh yeah, this is Tumi. They're very, very expensive. And she almost said it in like a sheepish way. She said, if you go right next door, literally right next door to, I don't know, In Emotion or something like that. It's where they sell videos and stuff like that too. But they also have a couple of carry-ons in there. She's like, it's going to be $110, $120. So don't buy this one.
My grandmother gave me a Tumi bag like 10 years ago and I still use it. It's still great, but yeah, I would never pay for a Tumi bag, man.
I put it on Instagram like, who would pay this amount of money for a carry-on? And so many people hit me up saying the exact same thing. That's the only bag you will ever need in your life. True. And I'm like, there's got to be something else. It's got to do something else for you.
If I was a hardcore traveler, I would buy it. It's made out of ballistic nylon, which DuPont developed during World War II to protect military personnel from bullets and flying shrapnel.
Okay.
So that's why it holds up so well.
All right. Chances are pretty good I'm not going into a war zone. But the math wasn't mathing with me because people were saying, like, you could buy 10 of those $100 bags, right? But you're going to go through them so fast. And to me, that still seemed logical. I'd rather get 8 bags at $100 than spend $800 on one bag.
I mean, people do pass them down like generation after generation in families because they last that long.
Do
but
they?
Yeah, I love my Tumi bag, but that's because I didn't have to pay for it.
Okay.
Get it. The Burt Show.